ever were supposed to look like, she murmured.
No, I look like a lesbian. You look like, well, like a beautiful Hollywood actress.
Did Harper look like a lesbian? Yes, Danny had assumed Harper was gay. Not that the photo she'd had screamed gay, but there was something that drew her. Her hair was a little longer now than it had been in the photo. She was taller than she'd imagined, tall and lean, early 30s, perhaps. Harper leaned closer now.
Seriously? You're gay?
Seriously.
And nobody knows?
Danny shook her head. Well, someone knows, yes, she said with a half smile. But no one in the business, no, not even my assistant.
How old are you?
Why, is that relevant?
Mid-20s?
28, nearly 29.
So who knows, people from college, your family?
God, no, my family. They're conservative, church-going. Older, I could never tell them.
Harper scratched her forehead, her eyebrows drawn together in a frown. Okay, so you're a big star. News like this would be what? A bombshell?
Yes, quite the bombshell.
So how is it that no one has spilled the beans?
Danny wrapped both hands around her glass. In college, I had a relationship. Discreet relationship, she added.
Discreet, meaning both of you were in the closet?
Yes.
Harper stood up, pacing slowly around the table. Okay, none of this is really any of my business. But the stalker?
She stopped pacing and stared at her.
What do you think?
I think it makes more sense now, she said. He's mad. I disappointed him.
Because he's in love with you when he finds out you're gay?
Harper shook her head.
Just because you went to a gay bar doesn't mean you're gay. What was he doing there? Or was it a mixed bar?
No, I would assume he followed me.
Okay. I thought the stalking started after the bar. No?
No, I went to the bar. I don't know. It was well over a month ago, but that's when the notes that he left started to change tone. That's when the fresh flowers that he'd leave changed to black roses. That's when the dolls started showing up.
Harper sat down again. So he's infatuated with you. He's spying on you, leaving you things. He's in love.
Yes.
You go to a gay bar wearing a red wig, in disguise. He follows you. He's appalled by it. You've shattered his view of you.
Yes. He's mad. He wants to punish me.
So, again, how did he know you were going to be in Dallas?
Harper tapped her finger on the table.
Maybe he's got your house bugged. You flew here?
No, I drove.
You drove?
I needed some alone time, and I hate airports.
You hate airports, or you hate the people at airports?
She was surprised at how astute Harper was at reading her. I don't make a very good celebrity, do I?
Harper tilted her head, studying her. If you don't like all the trimmings that go with it, why are you in the business?
Danny's smile was brief as she remembered that fateful day. It just sort of happened. By accident, literally.
She slid her empty glass over to Harper and nodded at her unasked question. Harper added a splash to the glass and slid it back to her.
After college, I really had no idea what I wanted to do. I'd worked for a real estate company while I was in school and, well, I got a license because, well, men had a hard time saying no to me. It was fairly easy to sell houses.
And what? With your looks, you got discovered?
No, a friend of mine was an aspiring actress. She needed a lift one day. She was auditioning for a part. She remembered that day with vivid clarity. It was the day her world changed. She looked up at Harper. It was a rare rainy day. Instead of waiting in the car or going somewhere to kill time, I went in with her. There were maybe 20 or 25 women in there. Kate went over to join them, and I went to get coffee for us.
She shook her head.
I tripped and fell. Tossed 2 cups of hot coffee on, like, 6 of them.
She laughed quietly. It was a little chaotic there for a minute. The next thing I know, I'm being pulled into a back room to read from a script.
Harper smiled. That's how you got discovered? Really?
Really? Kate hasn't spoken to me since.
She took a sip of the whiskey.
I hate it. I hate all of it.
Then she gave a quick laugh.
Well, not the money. I don't hate that part of it.
Her smile faded.
I hate that I have no life to speak of. It's not something I ever aspired to do. Growing up, I was rather shy. And when I discovered I was gay, I fiercely guarded my privacy. So for me to have zero privacy now, I can't continue to live this way. This movie will be my last.
She looked quickly at Harper.
And you're the very first person I've told. I'm going to do this movie, which will be very different from the others that I've done. It's darker, grittier. I don't play a dumb blonde in some far-fetched love story for once. I'm going to honor my obligations, then I'm done.
Hoping to change your image?
At the time I signed on for it, yes, that was the plan. Now? Now it's just a means to an end.
So you're going to walk away from fame and fortune just like that?
I'm going to run, not walk.
And do what?
I don't know. Dye my hair dark, chop it off, go back to my real name.
Real name?
Danielle Stevens. No, that's not me. She smiled. Danny Strauss. That's my real name.
Why Stevens?
She shrugged. I was told Strauss didn't fit me. Besides, I wanted to protect my family and their privacy.
She leaned back and brushed the hair away from her face.
Which brings us back to my stalker.
Yes, you hate airports, so you drove.
I rented a car. Could he have found out from them where I was heading?
He had to have known what you planned to do here, not just that you were heading to Dallas. How would he find you in the city?
Harper stood up again, pacing.
You locked your house at night, yet he still got in. Did he go into your bedroom?
I don't think so. After the first time when I knew he'd been in the house, I started locking my bedroom door, and I'd put a chair under the doorknob, and I hung a bell. And of course, I got a gun.
A bell to alert you? That was smart. But do you think you could have shot him?
Danny stared at her. I don't know, she said honestly.
Let's hope you don't have to find out.
Harper leaned on the chair.
I don't think it's as simple as him following you, though. Across four states? What are the chances?
I think... Harper's phone interrupted her, and she pulled it out of her pocket.
Yeah, Reed. What did you find?
Danny could tell by her expression that Detective Springer found absolutely nothing. She wasn't surprised. They'd never been able to find anything at her house either.
Okay. Thanks.
Harper paused.
Yeah. She's here with me.
Then she smiled and met Danny's gaze.
I'll try to control myself.
She pocketed her phone and shrugged.
He's extremely jealous that you're staying with me.
Danny nodded. And I'm extremely happy that it's you and not him. She grinned. You're much cuter than he is. She was surprised that Harper blushed. So, back to my stalker.
Yeah. Harper sat down again. The doll was clean. No prints. They're going to try to trace the doll, find out what kind it is, what brand, and see if they can trace it back to where it was purchased.
Harper shook her head.
Very long shot and probably a waste of time.
Am I getting special treatment? I mean, a doll was found in a hotel room. If that had happened to anyone else...
Yes.
And being here with you? If it was anyone else, you wouldn't have offered your home to me.
Harper shrugged. Depends. I may not know who you are, but I can be charmed just as well.
Danny laughed. Charmed? Am I charming you?
Again, Harper blushed. So, back to this. I don't think he's following you. I think he's tracking you.
Meaning?
A tracking device. He may have bugged your home. Maybe that's how he knew when you weren't there, so he could pop in and leave you gifts. A listening device would have allowed him to hear your conversations on the phone.
know what your plans were, that sort of thing.
But a tracking device? On my own car, maybe. But I rented one to come here.
Did you pick it up ahead of time? Did you leave it at your place overnight?
Danny sighed. Yes, damn. It was delivered the day before I left.
It's just a thought. The car's in our lot, right?
Right.
I'll have someone do a sweep on it.
Okay. And not to be a bother or a rude guest, but I didn't have lunch, and I'm starving.
Yeah, me too. We can order pizza, you know, if Hollywood stars eat that sort of thing.
She knew Harper was teasing, but it hit home. She was a Hollywood star. She no longer had the luxury of having pizza delivered to her door. She no longer could go out to eat at her favorite Italian restaurant, a little mom-and-pop place that served the best traditional lasagna she'd ever had. It was a once-a-week stop back in the old days, back before she was discovered, back when she was just Danny Strauss. The last time she'd tried to go there, it had caused such a commotion the owners had ushered her out through the kitchen with her food boxed to go.
"What is it?" Harper asked gently.
"Feeling sorry for myself," she said. "Privacy is something most people take for granted. I never wanted to be a celebrity. I wasn't prepared for it."
"Well, you must be a good actress. You obviously have the looks. Talented, too."
Danny laughed.
"Talented? First of all, you've not seen any of my movies. Secondly, I don't know that there's much talent involved. I'm pretty much just playing myself. All four of the characters I've played have been almost identical." "So what? Romantic comedies? Drama?"
"Three fall under romantic comedies. Shores of St. Clair was more drama."
"Right. The jilted lover and all."
Danny laughed again. "I'm going to guess you'd hate all four of them."
"But now you're going to play a cop."
"Yes. And I think this will be the movie that I'm exposed in. Like I said, I think my so-called talent is limited. That's one reason I wanted to shadow somebody. Watch the way you carried yourself, how you reacted, how you talked to people."
"I think Reed already told you not to model your character after me."
"Yes. Why is that?"
"I'm not very likable."
Danny frowned. "No?"
Harper stood up. "No. So pizza or something else?"
Danny wondered at her sudden abruptness.
Was Harper trying to remind herself that she was unlikable?
Was it true, or was it something she chose to portray?
At Harper's questioning gaze, she realized she hadn't answered her.
"Yes, pizza would be great, although pepperoni is not my favorite."
"Italian sausage is my usual go-to. What about veggies? Anything you don't like?"
"Not a big fan of olives."
"Consider them cut."
Chapter 10 Harper handed Danny the remote.
"I don't watch TV, but I think it still works."
"You don't watch TV? You don't go to movies?"
Danny raised her eyebrows.
"What do you do?"
"I work."
"And sit alone and think and remember and sometimes cry." She sighed quietly, wishing the pizza would come already. She moved away from Danny, choosing to sit in the lumpy chair instead of sharing the sofa. The chair was picked up at a thrift shop, as was almost everything else in the house. When she moved to Dallas, she'd brought nothing with her but her clothes and her laptop. She'd rented an apartment at first, but noisy neighbors soon had her regretting that decision. This house, a rental, belonged to Sergeant Helms's sister. Because of that, she was getting a break on the rent, which she appreciated. The house was in a decent neighborhood, so she had no complaints there. She stared absently at the TV as Danny flipped through channels. She then turned her attention to the woman sharing her space. Not just any woman. Danielle Stevens. A damn actress, for God's sake. An actress with a doll-loving stalker chasing her. Danny Strauss. A woman relying on her to keep her safe. The last time that had happened, well, no. She didn't want to go there.
She needed to be alone, if she was going to let those memories in, because those memories always brought tears. The doorbell sounded, finally. She got up, opening the door without looking. Not that she was on a first-name basis with all the delivery folks, but she smiled at Jameel, who delivered to her most often.
"Hey there, Miss Harper. Large pizza? That's a change. You got company?"
"Got a guest tonight, yeah." She took the receipt he handed her and added a tip before signing it. "Thanks, Jameel."
"Thank you. See you next time,"
he said as he hurried back to his car. She was about to turn away when she saw the porch light reflect off of something by her tire. She walked closer, putting the pizza on the hood as she squatted down to inspect it.
"Son of a bitch,"
she murmured. A knife was sticking out of the front driver's side tire. A quick glance to the back told her that all of the tires had been slashed.
"Harper?"
"Yeah, over here."
Danny walked down the porch steps.
"What's wrong?"
She stood up and pointed at the knife.
"The bastard is really starting to piss me off."
Danny's eyes went from the knife back to her.
"How did he find us?"
"I don't know. I made sure we weren't followed."
She handed the pizza box to Danny.
"Go back inside. I need to call Reed." "Damn, Harper. Maybe I'm glad I didn't get this assignment after all."
He closed the door, then held up the note.
"He must be pretty slick if he can get inside your car without setting off the alarm."
"I'm more concerned with how the hell he found us. I was overly cautious. I took a different route home. I went out of the way. I got into traffic. I would swear there was no one following us."
"Then you know what that means."
"Yeah, she's got a tracking device somewhere."
"Luggage? You said he'd been in her house."
"Could be."
"What about phone?"
Harper shook her head.
"She's very private. From what I gather, not many people have her number to begin with, just her inner circle." "We both know there are ways to find cell phone numbers. This guy seems very careful. Professional, almost."
"A professional stalker?"
"You know what I mean."
He shined his flashlight on the note.
"Okay, let's see what we got."
He smiled.
"He pegged you for a dyke cop. Wonder when he figured that out."
"Just read what's on the note, Reed," she said a bit impatiently.
"It says, 'Daniel Stevens belongs to me, dyke cop. I'm not afraid to take you out.'"
Reed glanced at her. Kinda lame, like a bad TV show. He slipped the note into an evidence bag.
"I'll take this and the knife and see if there's something on it."
"Thanks."
"Yeah, yeah. I know you're busy, what with trying to keep Daniel Stevens safe and all. Tough job you got there, Harper."
She lifted up the corner of her mouth in a grin.
"Well, someone has to do it."
She let her smile slip away. "You let Mize know about my tires?"
"No, I didn't even tell Hernandez. I just told him to pick me up here because you wanted the squad car first thing in the morning."
He paused.
"You going to let Mize know?"
"Yeah. I'll get with him in the morning. What about the sweep on her rental car?"
"They'll do it tomorrow. What about her luggage?"
"I'll have her bring it with us." He leaned closer and nudged her elbow.
"Need me to stay here with you? Help protect her?"
"You know what, buddy? I think I can handle it."
"So, what's she like? Is she nice like she appears in the movies? Or stuck up like a big-shot celebrity?"
"She's nice." She glanced toward the house. "You want to come inside? I got pizza," she offered.
"Oh, yeah," he said eagerly. "Will she mind?"
"I don't think so." She found Danny in the kitchen, pacing. Her eyes flew first to Harper, then to Reed.
"You remember Detective Springer," she said, jerking a thumb at Reed. "He's waiting for a ride. If you don't mind, I thought we'd share our pizza with him."
"I don't mind at all." "There's beer," she said to Reed, as she brought the pizza box to the table.
"Better not. I'm going to drop the knife off before I go home."
Harper smiled when she opened the lid and found one slice missing. She glanced over at Danny, who smiled a bit sheepishly.
"Sorry, I was starving."
"Yeah, me too." Harper took out a slice before sliding the box toward Reed. Found a note in the car.
Oh? He got inside? Was it locked?
Yeah, talented little bastard. She glanced at Reed. Tell her what it said.
Are you sure?
You said yourself it was pretty lame. He nodded, then glanced at Danny.
It was a warning, Ms. Stevens, for Harper. He said that you, well, that you belonged to him.
Show her the note, she said around a mouthful. Make sure it's the same handwriting.
Reed took the evidence bag from his inner jacket pocket and handed it to Danny. Harper watched her as she read it, her expression changing only subtly. Harper reached for another piece of pizza, waiting for her reaction.
So, he's threatening you now?
Danny met her gaze.
I'm sorry,
It's the same handwriting?
Yes.
Then she smiled.
Dyke cop, huh?
Harper shrugged and returned her smile.
What can I say?
Danny handed the evidence bag back to Reed.
I understand my rental car will be checked for a tracking device, she said.
Yes, tomorrow.
Reed took another piece, too.
And something else. We think maybe your luggage, too.
My luggage?
He found my place somehow, Harper said. I wasn't followed. I'm sure of it.
Danny sat down at the table with him.
You think there's a tracking device in my luggage, too?
Possibility, yes, she said.
This is crazy. Who does stuff like this?
An obsessed fan, I guess, she said. Probably some guy like Reed who thinks, what did you say? She's the hottest thing out there?
Reed nearly choked on his pizza, and his face turned bright red with embarrassment. He kicked her leg under the table.
Must you?
Harper laughed.
Sorry.
Danny gave his arm a friendly pat.
Thank you for the compliment, but I can name several actresses who are hotter than I am, and younger, she added.
The question was on Reed's lips, but before he could ask it, a horn honked outside. There was a look of relief on his face at the sound.
That's my ride, he said as he got up, taking a slice of pizza with him. Thanks for coming out, she said. We'll hook up tomorrow.
Right, he turned to Danny.
Good night, Miss Stevens.
Good night, Detective.
Harper walked him to the front door.
She's 28, she said quietly. Too young for you.
He grinned.
I'm only 35. Certainly not too young.
She's closer to my age, she said, baiting him.
He laughed.
Come on, Harper. Danielle Stevens, you wouldn't stand a chance with that woman in there.
He lowered his voice.
Did you see the way she looked at me? Did you see her touch my arm?
Yeah, but who is she sleeping with tonight?
Oh, in your dreams, Harper.
Hernandez honked again and Reed jogged away.
See you tomorrow,
he called before shoving the pizza into his mouth. She was smiling as she walked back inside. Danny was still at the kitchen table, but her glass now had a splash of amber liquid in it. Danny looked at her questioningly, and Harper nodded. Danny added a bit to her glass, too.
I'm sorry I got you into all this, Danny said, as she slid the glass over to her. I should have stayed home. I should have canceled my plans here.
Stayed home and done what? Dealt with it yourself?
Danny sighed.
Continued to call the police there, I suppose. Hired a bodyguard.
You already said you didn't want to live like that. And stop apologizing. It's my job.
This certainly isn't your job, Danny said, motioning to the pizza, the whiskey. You could have dumped me off at another hotel.
I could have, but I didn't.
Danny held the glass loosely in her hands, then ran her thumbs across the surface, back and forth.
The note. Is it legit? For real? Or just an idle threat?
You mean the part about taking me out?
Danny looked at her.
Yes.
Harper shrugged.
We have to take it at face value, I suppose. But don't worry. I can take care of myself. It's you we're trying to protect here, not me.
You think it'll be okay tonight? You think he'll try to break in here like he does at my house?
Harper shook her head. He knows I'm a cop. Surely he's not that crazy.
Later, however, as she was lying in bed, listening to every slight noise, Harper wasn't so sure. This was a man bold enough to go into Danny's house at night, while she slept. He was bold enough to come to her own house and slash the tires on her car, while she was at home. Would he try to come inside tonight? She tossed the covers off for the third time and crept silently into the hallway. All was quiet. She went to the spare room, the door ajar, as it had been earlier. She pushed it open, listening to Danny's even breathing. As Danny had told her when they'd gone to bed, her problem was that she slept like a log and rarely woke during the night. Harper had looked in on her 3 times now, and she appeared to be in the same position, on her side, the extra pillow pulled to her as if she were holding a lover. She had a sudden sense of loneliness, and she turned from the sight, closing the door a bit as she went back to her own room.
Chapter 11. Danny leaned against the counter, then stifled a yawn, watching as Harper did the same.
Did you sleep?
Not much.
On guard? She guessed. Harper nodded as she poured coffee into a travel mug. You know, we should have just shared your bed. That way you wouldn't have had to look in on me during the night, and I wouldn't have worried so much.
Harper smiled. I don't know that worrying kept you up. You were sleeping like a baby. But how did you know I checked on you?
Danny shrugged. It seemed like something you would do. Did you?
Harper nodded. I may have looked in on you a time or two. Couldn't sleep.
So you are more worried than you let on, huh? Thanks for hiding it from me.
Harper closed the lid on her mug. I don't normally do breakfast, but we can pick something up if you'd like.
I'm okay as long as we don't skip lunch again. She drank the last of her coffee, then set the cup in the sink and rinsed it with water. Do we have a plan for today?
I've got to let Lieutenant Mize know what happened last night. I really don't want to go out until your rental has been checked, and your luggage, too.
Do you think your lieutenant will change his mind about me riding with you?
Afraid we're going to send you away?
Yes, actually.
Harper shook her head. Don't worry about that. He'll most likely leave it up to me as to how we play this.
And if that's the case, what would be your course of action? She asked.
I want to catch the bastard, Harper said bluntly. But it's a fine line. It's you he's after, not me. How exposed should we leave you?
Danny frowned. What are you saying? Use me as bait?
Something like that, yeah.
Danny chewed on her lower lip. Bait? For her stalker? The creepy clown? She met Harper's gaze. I'm not sure how I feel about that. You want to let him get close to me?
Close, but not too close. Harper shoved away from the counter. Come on, we're going to hit traffic if we don't get going. Are you out of your mind? Use her as bait?
Lieutenant Mize took off his glasses and tossed them on his desk. No way, detective. If something happened to her, he said, pointing at Danny,
can you imagine the negative publicity this department would have?
He shook his head.
Absolutely not. Find another way.
I didn't mean to use her exactly, Lieutenant, Harper said. The tracking device they found on her rental has already been disabled, so he now knows we found it. But the device that was found on her bag, I told them not to disable it.
She stood up, walking behind the visitor's chair that Danny was sitting in. We'll get someone to drive the rental with her bag that has the tracking device on it, and we go somewhere that we've already staked out. All we have to do is wait for him to show.
And she's out of the picture?
We'll leave her someplace safe, yes. She can sit at my desk until it's over.
He put his glasses back on.
Okay, Harper. That sounds almost too easy, but it might work, unless he's got eyes on the rental and knows it's not her driving it. I'll drive it. I'll wear a blonde wig.
Harper was surprised by the quick laugh he gave.
Oh, now this I've got to see.
If you're planning to go someplace that's already staked out, why not just let me drive the car? Danny asked.
No, she said with a shake of her head. I don't want to take a chance of him intercepting you en route or something.
Even if you wear a wig, if he gets close enough, he'll know it's not me.
We'll go after dark. It should be fine. She turned to Mize. Can we find an abandoned house or building or something where we can lead him to?
Yeah, I'll find something. Take Springer and Hernandez, he said. I'll let Sergeant Helms know you'll need backup. Let's do it right at dusk.
She nodded. I'll fill them in. She turned to Danny. Probably best if you stay here until it's over with. You can sit at my desk. Watch the comings and goings, she smiled. You know, a little background for your movie.
Danny nodded. Okay, I guess I can't be any safer than here, can I?
Harper noticed her hesitation, and when they walked out of Mize's office, she nudged Danny's arm.
What's wrong? She asked quietly.
I don't know. On the surface, it sounds like it might work.
But?
Like your lieutenant said, it seems too easy. The stalker seems, I don't know, too smart. Where do you even get tracking devices?
You can buy GPS tracking devices anywhere. These are pretty simple ones.
She shrugged slightly. If all he's doing is following the device, it might work. In fact, it seemed so simple, she felt like it had to work.
Worth a try, right?
Danny gave a half smile.
Worth a try.
Harper could tell she wasn't convinced, and she wished she knew what Danny's reservations were. Maybe intuition told her it wasn't going to work. There was a look of concern in her eyes, and Harper thought maybe it was the fact that she'd be left here in the squad room alone.
If you're worried about the guys bothering you while I'm not here, I'll pass around a word of warning to them, she offered, although Lieutenant Mize and the captain have both told everyone to leave you alone.
I'd rather be with you, but I suppose I'll be fine here. I'll entertain myself by people watching, as you suggested.
Danny wasn't very convincing, but Harper didn't have time to reassure her. I need to get with Springer and Hernandez, she said apologetically. Fill them in, get our plan down. She glanced at the clock on the wall. I see we're well past lunch already, sorry.
I'll get some chips or something from the vending machine.
Give me an hour or so, then we'll go grab something to eat. Late lunch, early dinner.
Danny smiled.
You make a terrible date, you know.
Harper nodded.
So I've been told.
Yeah, by all of 2 women who she'd been out with in the last 3 years. The first one, Harper couldn't remember her name, barely made it through dinner. The second one, Missy, something or other, lasted for 2 whole dates. Tears had ended the second date. Harper's tears, not Missy's. Harper had given up on dating after that.
Danny was looking at her questioningly, and Harper gave her a quick smile. Be right back.
Chapter 12. Danny stared out of the third floor window, watching the light rain splatter against the glass, blurring the headlights of the cars on the street down below. She pulled her jacket a little tighter around her, subconsciously feeling the chill from outside on this early February evening. So much for the spring weather she'd been expecting. She didn't know why she was feeling apprehensive, but she was. It was similar to the feelings she would have at home, in the mornings, when she knew, even before stepping foot outside her bedroom door, that he'd been there. She just hadn't known how to explain it to Harper. She moved her jacket aside on her wrist, looking at her watch. It had been nearly an hour since Harper had donned the blonde wig, too much laughter from the guys in the squad room, and headed out in her rental car. With luck, Harper had said, they'd have her stalker in custody tonight. Danny had a sneaking suspicion that luck would not be on their side. She turned away from the window and resumed her seat at Harper's desk, a desk that was impeccably neat, nothing personal on it at all. There were 4 other detectives still there. 2 were on the phone, and 1 had his nose stuck in his computer. The other was leaning back in his chair, twirling a pencil between his fingers. He'd glanced at her a few times, offered a smile or two, but had left her alone. In fact, no one had approached her at all. If not for a few curious glances her way, she could almost forget she was Danielle Stevens. She folded her arms across her waist, letting her thoughts drift to Detective Jeremiah. She was a hard one to read. 1 minute, friendly, open. The next, abrupt, guarded. Harper did seem more protective of her personal life, though. If she had to venture a guess, she'd say that Harper had no personal life. That was a shame. While she deemed herself unlikable, and at times tried very hard to be that person, Danny would never describe her that way. And judging by her interactions with Detective Springer and the others, they didn't view her that way either. She wondered why Harper had given herself that label.
"So, we've been here over an hour, Harper. How long do we wait? Maybe he drove by and could tell it was an abandoned house and kept going."
"Yeah, maybe this plan wasn't all that great."
"It's a great plan, provided he plays along," Reed said. "Since we found the tracking device on the car, maybe he's decided to lay low for a night or two and didn't follow at all."
"His intent is to terrorize, cause fear," she said. "From what Danny says, it's escalating, if anything." Reed raised his eyebrows. "Danny?" Harper shrugged. "That's what she told me to call her."
"Damn. I'm so jealous you got this assignment. She's so pretty. Pretty beyond words."
"You think?"
"God, don't you?"
Harper smiled.
"Yeah, she's pretty damn cute."
Reed elbowed her.
"So, does she have a boyfriend? Is she seeing some cute actor? Has she name-dropped and stuff?"
"She's a very private person. She hasn't shared anything with me." She lied.
"It's strictly business."
Reed leaned back in the seat and stretched his legs out.
"How come you and me never talk about personal stuff?"
"We talk about personal stuff all the time. I know every woman you've slept with."
"What I meant was, how come I don't know anything about you?"
"Nothing to know."
"Come on, Harper. We've been partners for almost a year. I know you came from Tucson, homicide detective, and you've been here 3 years or so. That's about all I know."
She stared straight ahead at the rental car that was parked in front of the vacant house. Was that really all she'd told him? She turned her head and looked at him, then turned back to the rental car.
"There's not much else to tell. If you're looking for juicy personal details, there aren't any. Work. This is it."
"That right there will drive you to an early grave. You know what they say about all work and no play."
"Haven't been in the mood to play,"
she said honestly.
"Why'd you leave Tucson? You got family here in Dallas or something?"
She took a deep breath.
"Yeah, Harper. Why did you leave Tucson?"
She could see Jan's face clearly. The laughing dark eyes, the teasing smile, the tiny scar on her chin from taking a tumble on her bike when she was a kid. She stared at the rental car, no longer seeing it, instead seeing the tangled mass of light brown hair, made sticky from the blood, the mangled hands from fingers that had been smashed. And she saw the crushed skull, the lifeless eyes. She saw the sheet they'd covered her with, the sheet that was soaked in blood. She saw their sympathetic gazes, heard their hushed words, felt their comforting touch as they led her from the bedroom. It took 2 days before it hit her. 2 days before she shed a tear. 2 days before reality set in and changed her life forever. She looked over at Reed, seeing him watching her. She gave him a half-hearted smile.
"Or something,"
she said quietly.
"In other words, none of my business.
I needed to get out of Tucson. I just happened to land here, that's all."
"Okay, Harper. None of my business."
She should tell him, she supposed. Reed was the closest thing she had to a friend. She'd left all of those behind in Tucson, too. But she wasn't ready. She'd kept it locked away in a nice, safe, secret place. She took the memory out,
from time to time, but only for a little while. That was all she could handle. She kept thinking every day that passed, every month, every year, that it would get better, easier. But no, she still felt hollow inside, empty. She knew Jan wasn't coming back, knew that part of her life was over with for good. Jan would tell her to get over it already. Jan would tell her to get on with her life. She would, if she could. Oh, if only she could. Danny stared in disbelief as a man walked into the squad room carrying a handful of balloons on a string. He spotted her and walked her way. She would have panicked if not for the friendly smile on his face.
Daniel Stevens, right? I recognize you from the movies, he said, as he handed her the strings. Some guy outside dressed as a clown, of all things, said he had a delivery for you. I didn't let him come up, of course, but I told him I'd see that they were delivered.
He pulled a note out of his pocket.
Here, there's a card or something.
She stared at the paper in his hand, then looked back at him.
He was here? In the building?
Yeah, downstairs.
She saw that her hand was trembling as she took the note from him.
Thank you,
she murmured.
Sure.
There were 5 balloons, all different colors, all with smiley faces on them. Her first inclination was to pop them all, but in a room full of cops with guns, she didn't think that was a good idea. Instead, she tied them to Detective Springer's desk chair before sitting back down at Harper's desk. They were from him, of course. Who else? The note, however, was different. The paper was thick, expensive stationery, not like his normal notes. She was almost afraid to open it, and she realized she was holding her breath as she revealed the words written there. Are you hiding from me, Danielle? No need to try. I can always find you. You will be mine, now and forever, until death. Your lady cop can't help you. No one can.
Jesus,
she murmured, her heart hammering in her chest. She fumbled with her phone, so thankful Harper had given her cell number that morning. 3 rings, 4, before Harper answered.
He was here, she blurted out.
What? Where?
Here, downstairs. Some guy, a cop, I guess, came up and brought me balloons. He said a guy dressed as a clown wanted to come up and give them to me,
she said in a nervous rush. Son of a bitch. No wonder he didn't show here. A slight pause. Are you okay?
There was a note. Can you come back here?
She asked, her voice shaking with panic.
I'm afraid he might get in, come up here and find me.
Yeah, we're abandoning this, Harper said. But Danny, it's a building full of cops. You're safe there.
Danny jumped as the outer door opened and 2 men walked in, neither paying her any attention.
Can you hurry, please?
Be right there. Just stay at my desk. I'm coming.
Danny squeezed the phone tightly in her hands before putting it in the pocket of her jacket. She wrapped the jacket tighter around her, her eyes glued to the door.
Please, hurry.
Chapter 13 Harper made Reed bring the rental back while she drove the squad car, lights flashing. Yeah, it was a bit of overkill, but the panic in Danny's voice had, well, it had tugged at her conscience. Danny was scared. Danny was alone. And yes, she felt responsible for her. And the son of a bitch hadn't taken the bait. He hadn't followed the tracking device. Had he known it was a setup? Or was he watching the rental all along and knew it wasn't Danny who had gotten behind the wheel? Regardless, leaving Danny there alone probably wasn't the wisest thing she'd ever done. Numerous scenarios crossed her mind. The stalker posing as a cop, for one. For the bastard getting into the building unimpeded. She had assumed Danny would be fine there. But what if the guy had gotten up to the 3rd floor? Then what? He was dressed as a freaking clown, she reminded herself. No way he got past the front desk. Again, what if he wasn't? What if he wasn't dressed as a clown?
but a cop. Well, until they had this crazy clown bastard, she'd take more precautions. A few minutes later, when she stepped into the squad room, Danny jumped to her feet, an obvious look of relief on her face. For a second there, she thought that Danny was about to fly into her arms.
"Thank you,"
she mouthed as Harper walked in. "You okay?"
"No."
Danny handed her a piece of paper.
"I think he's... well, I no longer think that he doesn't intend to harm me."
Harper read the note, her jaw clenched. She read it again, trying to read between the lines. There really wasn't much between the lines, though. "You'll be mine, now and forever, until death." Yeah, there wasn't much between the lines. It was all right out in the open. But as Reed might say, his notes were kinda lame. "I'm sorry I left you here," she said. "I was so sure he'd follow the tracking device."
"I don't know how to explain it, but I think I knew that he wouldn't."
Danny pressed closer to her.
"Is he watching me? Did he know it was you in the car and not me?"
"That seems the most logical explanation."
"So now what?"
Harper pulled the small plastic tube out of her pocket, the one they'd put the tracking device into. "We leave this here, for one thing." She put it into her desk drawer. "He knows where I live, so I don't know if that's safe tonight."
"Hotel?"
"Might be too public. Do we want to chance someone recognizing you?"
"Where else?"
The double doors burst open, and Reed hurried in. He nodded at Danny, then pulled her to the side. "Got a call. Rape victim," he said quietly. "Our guy again? Where? This makes number 6. "No, no," he said with a shake of his head. "Not our guy." He pulled her a few more feet away from Danny. "There was a doll left at the scene. A doll with chopped-off hair and a red wig."
"Jesus,"
she murmured, glancing quickly at Danny. "Do you want me to go with you?" "No, me and Hernandez got it. I just wanted to give you the heads up."
"Okay. Let me know what you get after you interview her."
She ran a hand through her hair.
"Hell, Reed. You need a female detective with you. Sometimes they won't talk to you, you know."
"I know. I've got someone on standby." She nodded.
"Good. And I need a favor."
"Name it."
"Can we crash at your place tonight?"
He grinned.
"Danielle Stevens at my place? Wow!"
"Don't get too excited. I imagine I'll get to share a bed with her, not you."
"And that's a damn waste, Harper,"
he said, as he handed her his keys. "The square one," he said. "There's probably nothing to eat there." "We'll pick up something. Call me after you interview her."
"Yeah. Hopefully I'll get home at a decent hour. We can talk then."
She watched him leave. Then she turned back to Danny, who was sitting at her desk. She offered a quick smile and held up his keys. Reed offered his place.
"Is it safe?"
"Apartment. Gated entry, for what that's worth." She looked at the 3 bags of luggage beside her desk. "Is there any way you could combine that into one bag?" Danny nodded.
"Easily. A couple of pairs of jeans and I'm good."
Chapter 14 Danny actually moaned when she bit into the burger.
"I haven't had a decent hamburger since I don't know when."
"Yeah. What a burger. They tell me it's a Texas classic." Danny wiped her mouth with the napkin, then used the straw to take a sip of her Coke.
"Why haven't you asked me any questions?"
Harper put her burger down and grabbed 3 fries from her plate.
"What do you mean?" "I mean, I tell you my secret. The secret I've been keeping from everyone. And you haven't asked me a ton of questions."
"Oh, you being gay and all."
"Yes."
Harper shrugged. "Other than it's what triggered your stalker to get a little testy with you, it's not really any of my business." Danny stared at her.
"That's it?"
"What? Should I be shocked?" She shrugged again. "I don't know you. I haven't seen your movies. Maybe if I had, then, yeah, I might be surprised."
"Surprised?"
Harper held her hands out. "What do you want me to say?
No, you don't look like a lesbian. You hide that very well, if that's your concern.
Danny wasn't sure what she expected Harper to say. She only expected more of a reaction than what she'd gotten.
Have you ever been in the closet?
Harper smiled. God, no. What you see is what you get. I knew I was gay from the start, so I didn't try to hide it.
And your family? Did they treat you differently?
No. I have two older brothers, and growing up, I always tagged along with them on their adventures. Classic tomboy, Harper said. I think they would have been more shocked had I been straight.
Did anyone ever call you Scout?
She asked, as she picked up her hamburger again. Harper laughed.
You mean, other than my grandmother?
Yeah, when they felt like picking on me, they'd call me Scout.
Harper reached over and stole a French fry from her plate.
So, you, growing up, did you know you were gay?
Danny nodded.
Yes, only I fought it, constantly. Steady boyfriend in high school. Well, once my father allowed me to date, that is.
You sleep with him?
Yes.
Let me guess, quarterback of the football team?
Danny felt a blush cross her face.
Am I that predictable?
Head cheerleader?
Danny sighed.
Yes.
Harper laughed lightly. Well, you have the look of a head cheerleader. Isn't it some rule that the head cheerleader and the quarterback date?
I don't know that I had the look of a cheerleader back then, she said, as she tucked her hair behind her ears. I always kept my hair fairly short.
She looked at Harper's hair. Not as short as yours, but certainly not what I have now. They make you grow it out for the movies, or what?
Yes. Well, they didn't make me, but it was suggested. The first movie, I had extensions put in to make my hair longer.
Harper nodded. What about college? Did you still date guys?
Of course.
And the gay thing?
I ignored it.
She met her gaze.
Until I couldn't.
The discreet affair?
Yes, she said. Tracy.
What happened?
She was dating this guy named Jason. I was dating Brock.
She shook her head.
He was a jerk. Anyway, Tracy and I, well, we ended up in bed one night.
She leaned back, remembering that night well. They'd been out on a double date, and the guys had gotten plastered on cheap bourbon. Neither she nor Tracy had been in the mood to deal with them, and had ended the night early. She still didn't know which of them initiated the first kiss. She looked up at Harper.
Tracy called it experimenting.
She wasn't gay?
Oh, she was, but her family was even more conservative than mine. Her father was a Baptist minister, and she was frankly terrified of him. So she called it experimenting.
How long did that last?
The rest of that year. Neither of us went to summer school, so we both moved back home between semesters. I got an email from her. She and Jason were getting married. She was pregnant, and she wouldn't be coming back to school.
Wow.
Yeah. I never saw her again. Anyway, that's when I moved to California. I worked for a year to establish my residency, real estate, then went back to college.
But you were still in the closet?
Yes, very.
Why? I mean, especially there.
I'm not sure, really. I was hanging on to my small-town fears, I guess.
But you had another relationship?
Yes. An older woman. She was 15 years older than I was.
She swallowed.
She was married.
You sure can pick them.
I know. Crazy.
How long did that last?
Over a year. She committed suicide.
Oh, Danny. I'm sorry. She shoved the rest of her hamburger away.
I should have seen it coming, I suppose. She was so miserable in her life.
Why didn't she just divorce her husband?
3 kids. The thought of them finding out, she couldn't deal with it. And on top of it all, he was a really good guy. She was living with such guilt, because of me, that it just ate at her and ate at her until she couldn't take it anymore.
How did you handle that?
I handled it much like I handled the first one. I pushed it all aside and acted like it never happened.
She rested her chin on her palm. I wasn't in love with her. There wasn't an emotional involvement, but she satisfied a need I had.
To be with a woman?
Danny nodded. I felt disconnected, I think. Her family didn't know I existed, so it wasn't like I could share their grief. Her name was Tara. She worked for the real estate company I worked for.
She shook her head.
And no one knew.
And that's it? That's been your life?
Well-meaning friends would set me up on dates with handsome guys. Work friends always included me in their outings. I was very sociable, yet very lonely. I've learned to live with it.
And the bar that night?
Danny blew out her breath. It wasn't the first time I'd been. Even before the movies, I always wore a disguise when I went.
Damn, you really were in the closet.
Yes, I never went home with anyone, never took anyone to my place. I went just to be around people, like me. I made a few friends. It was enough.
Yet you weren't able to be you. Did you give your real name?
God, no. Ironically, I used Tracy's name.
Harper stood up and took their plates to the sink.
You're 28 years old, she said. And not that I have any business giving you advice, but don't you think that's plenty old enough to come crawling out of the closet? Times have changed. Honestly, I don't think I know a single person who's still in the closet. Gay marriage is legal. Is it that big of a deal, really, if you came out?
Most celebrities who are gay but not out, there are at least rumors swirling around about them. So if, when they do come out, it's not such a total shock. Me? The only rumor swirling around about me is which guy I'm currently sleeping with.
So, which one are you sleeping with?
Harper was smiling, most likely teasing her with the question, but Danny didn't return the smile.
It's a hard game to play, Harper. It wears on you.
Harper's smile faded too.
Then quit playing it.
Like you said, I'm 28 years old, nearly 29. I've played it for a long time. I'm good at it. I'm used to it.
Harper sat down again.
So is this the sole reason you want out of the business? So you don't have to play the game anymore?
I make a terrible celebrity, she said. I've been told that by nearly everyone.
So why did you keep doing it?
At first, I was still in shock, I think, that someone wanted me in a movie. In the blink of an eye, I had an agent and an assistant and all these people managing me, she said, making quotations in the air. The first movie was such a success. Before I knew what was happening, I had contracts for two others, and the whole thing just kind of got out of control. I was so far in over my head, I had no choice but to trust these people.
Did they take advantage?
Of my naivete? Sure. Plus, the fact that I didn't want all of this attention made me rely on them that much more. I may have been inexperienced, but I knew the more popular I became, the more money I made, the more they made. I know they pretend to have my best interest at heart, but it's all a business.
So you're going to walk away. Then what?
She took a deep breath. I don't know. I want to go back to being Danny Strauss. I just don't know if I can. I mean, I don't want to have to wear a wig the rest of my life, she said with a shaky laugh. I'll cut my hair, maybe dye it brown.
She smiled at Harper.
You think anyone will know?
Maybe if you start using that Tennessee twang.
Harper stared into her eyes for such a long time, Danny was wondering what she was looking for.
You have such striking eyes,
Harper said, almost to herself, a mix between green and blue. To me, that's what stood out the most when I looked at your photo. I don't think a disguise with your hair would change that.
Danny frowned. What photo?
Oh, they had a file on you.
A file?
Harper shook her head dismissively. Just your photo and the particulars of your visit, that's all. She smiled apologetically. When I didn't know who you were, Lieutenant Mize offered your photo to me. Oh. Danny leaned her elbows on the table. What about Detective Springer?